Good morning. Welcome to this special web briefing on the records issues and resources related to the implementation of the E-Government Act of 2002. We're very pleased by the enthusiastic response we received from all of you. We just heard that we have almost 200 people registered and signed up to attend this webinar. I am Lawrence Brewer. I am the director of NAR's Lifecycle Management Division, which is the division that works directly with federal agencies headquartered in D.C. to support their records management needs. With me today is a distinguished panel of speakers. We have Martha Morphy, who is NAR's Chief Information Officer and Assistant Archivist for the Office of Information Services, and Dr. Michael Kurtz, who is the Assistant Archivist for the Office of Records Services in Washington, D.C. After we go through the agenda, I will turn the presentation over to them, and I will let them do their own introductions and add anything more to that. So first, let's turn to the next slide, which is the agenda for the briefing. We have divided this into three parts. First, Martha will talk about the challenges today and a look into the future and provide her perspective as NARA's CIO on the challenges you are facing today and the goals you should keep in mind as CIO, specifically with regard to records and information management. The second part of this briefing, presented by Dr. Kurtz, will review agencies and NARA's responsibilities for meeting the records-related requirements of the E-Government Act of 2002. And in the final part of this briefing, I'll talk about some of the resources that are available to you to help you meet your responsibilities under the E-Government Act. I would also like to point out at this time that at the end of each of these sections, there will be some yes or no questions that we would like you to consider to provide us with some feedback that we hope will allow us to serve you better in the future. Also at that time, while you're looking over those questions, we will entertain questions on the preceding part of the presentation. So let us begin, and I will turn it over to Martha.
Thank you. If you look at your screen right now, you're seeing a slide that talks about a 2006 CIO survey that the National Archives did. And at that time, we asked 28 members of the CIO Council, 26 responded, some questions related to risk management and asset and risk management related to records management. To me, one of the most telling bullets on this is the last one. The records management topic of highest interest is how to manage electronic records. At NARA, as the CIO, I'm responsible for the scheduling and the management of the records of our agency. And so one of the challenges that I have is to look at the ways that at the National Archives, look at the ways that we can better manage our electronic records. And I guess to continue, what I'd like to do is to look at the next slide and look at the challenges that we faced today. Actually, these four bullets were put together back in 2004, but they really hold true today for us. And you may not think about these as much as we do at the National Archives, but when we look at electronic records, the things that we first think about is agency processes. Records management has really changed. It's no longer managing boxes. It's really managing IT systems as well. And when we look at agency processes related to records management, the challenge that we have is that we not only have to look at the records that are created by supercomputers, but also those records that are created at the desktop, at the PC. So everyone within your agency is a records manager of sorts, and somehow we need to get the message out to even individuals at the desktop about records management and what they need to do over time to manage their records. The second issue is obsolescence. As all of you know, technology is changing at a very rapid rate, and the issues related to records management really are in a way mind-boggling. We have to worry about the transfer of records from one hardware platform to another hardware platform, as well as changes in software, and how we can ensure that the records we create under one software product retain their trustworthiness over time as we move to another software platform. Thirdly, the issue of volume. if we just take an example of an email, one that may have been created 5 or 6 years ago compared to emails that we receive today, while the structure looks the same, the size of the email in terms of the computer code related to it has grown, as well as the number and the assortment of attachments that can be attached to an email. And that's only one form, that's only one mechanism that we use in terms of creating records in the electronic world. Lastly, and this is really the challenge that kind of groups all of the other three together, the issue of the life cycle of the record. From the time it's created, and in the case of permanent records, those that we have to create, that we have to keep over time, how we do that is really a challenge for the IT world, and it's one that we really have to think about at the time that we are creating, that we make decisions to start the system's life cycle. Not the record's life cycle, the system's life cycle. Let me talk about, not exactly about the barriers, but instead some of the things that we are doing at the National Archives to try to minimize the challenges that are shown on this slide. We are working very, very carefully with our records managers and our business owners and our IT people to try to get everybody on the same, thinking the same way as it relates to records management. There are many processes within the IT world that we go through, beginning with the planning process, the CPIC process, which is the capital planning process, all the way through bringing a system to deployment. So I'd like to walk through some of the those stages within the system's life cycle and talk about what we're doing at the National Archives. First, as part of the planning process within CPIC, we actually have our records manager involved in reviewing what we call our product plans. Those are the plans that are put together to make a decision on whether an IT investment should go forward or not. The role that the records management plays is to sit down with the business owner who is proposing that IT investment, and together they walk through the concept for the investment and the potential records management issues that might occur downstream. In particular, we're concerned about the cost that may be related to managing those records, both for the life cycle of that system, but also we start to try to look at migration strategies right up front in case those records are not temporary and have to be carried on over time. Secondly, within the systems development life cycle, we look at business process reengineering. As many of you know, in the business process reengineering arena, what we look at are the processes themselves, but also the movement of data between processes. As part of the process, records may be created, and the data can be a record which moves to another process to create another record. What we do is we have our records manager work with business process reengineering teams and try to identify upfront the records that are created and that are being used as part of processes and that need to be stored over time. This is not easy because in many cases, just as IT analysts have to understand what the business is, it's the same issue for the records manager. And that's really a different job than a records management might be used to. And also, even if we have people from the business who are used to building IT systems, it's a kind of a paradigm change for them as well to understand the definition of what records are. Even though we're the National Archives, everybody doesn't understand all of the elements of records management. Then, if we look at our systems life cycle, we have built in to our systems development life cycle, into our actual document, checkup points for the records manager to be involved. records management needs to be put into the requirements for the development of systems. And at some high level, we try to have our records manager involved in design reviews to ensure that records management is a part of the system's development life cycle. This also is a different role for the records manager to play. To put all of this into policy is a challenge as well. One of the things that we are going to be doing in the next few months, even though we have identified the records management role as part of our policies, we are adding sign-off for each phase of our systems development lifecycle so that the records manager signs off as a team member along with others who have normal sign-offs within the systems development lifecycle. So our records manager will be signing off just like our CTO does as part of the enterprise architecture, and as our data manager does in the data area, and our security officer does as well. So those are some of the things that we're doing as a National Archives to help us get records management in gear as it relates to electronic records. The last slide really shows some of the challenges that are ahead, and what these three bullets represent at the National Archives are really our goals. We are trying to get to a very systematic approach to managing records and to coordinate those records with others within the agency so that we have an efficient records management program that is responsive to everyone, both internal and external to the agency, who's involved in the management of electronic records. Thank you.
Before we turn to our next speaker, you should be seeing some questions popping up on your desktop. As I said before, some yes or no questions. We really appreciate your feedback. At this time, if there are any questions for Martha on the content that she just presented, we'd be happy to entertain some questions. Okay. We will also be taking questions at the end, so if anything else pops up in your minds as we go through the presentation, there will be other opportunities to ask them. Our next speaker is Michael Kurtz, who will talk to you in more detail about the E-Government Act of 2002.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here and to have everyone participating in this webinar. This is a very important topic for us and for the federal government and for everyone, and so appreciate the opportunity and the fact that you're sharing your time with us. In the 2004-2005 time period, I was asked by the Archivist as part of NARA's participation in the E-Government Act to serve as the chair of the Electronic Records Policy Working Group. It had kind of a difficult acronym. We called it IRCWG, but it was a very important, we did some very important work, and we reported directly to the Interagency Committee on Government Information. And the four barriers that Martha mentioned and showed on one of her slides came out of a series of open sessions that the IRCWG sponsored. I think we had nine of them for federal employees and for the public and for others concerned about federal records management. And our goal in each of the sessions was to mix together records managers, IT staff, CIOs, general counsels, program managers to get the most diverse set of reactions and understanding that we could achieve. And so the barriers came out. What Martha was bringing across is how, as an agency, with our own records and our own responsibilities, we try to deal with these four barriers in very specific ways. So it's been interesting for us to do that, not only to meet our mission responsibilities, but also to pilot some of these approaches. So we're both implementing, but we're also learning. So my job is to talk a bit about these barriers from the perspective of our external work with federal agencies. And one of the results of the IRCWG and the final report on the E-Government Act of 2002 was the establishment of the Federal Records Council. I'm the chair of that. We have 23 agencies participating, And again, we have sought to have a membership that reflects those who work with the web, who are records managers, who are in IT shops and general counsel shops. And so we have a very diverse group, and we meet every other month to deal with cross-cutting issues that affect federal records management and the executive branch. And so as we move forward, as NARA moved forward in implementing our contribution to the Government Act, we've looked at these barriers, and we've developed products and services that try to address the problems that lie and the challenges that lie behind the four barriers. And that you'll hear more about that from me as well in more detail from Lawrence Brewer. So at a very high level, we partner with the Office of Management and Budget and with all of our federal agency colleagues. Basically, in many ways, we're trying to reinforce requirements and activities for which, you know, agencies are already responsible. For instance, the appropriate management of federal records is required to identify the records, to schedule them, to transfer them to NARA if they're historically valuable. All of that's already in statute and regulation. So the products and services that we've been developing is to try to make that a more effective operation, particularly in the electronic, in the world of electronic records. And so with, as implementing the E-Government Act, NARA issued Bulletin 2006-02, which I think is still on our website. It's still relevant, and it's got some excellent resource information because it pulls together various relevant documents and links to them. And so I would suggest that if you haven't already looked at that and reviewed it, that you do so. And it focuses NARA's work on developing appropriate guidance and tools to help agencies meet these responsibilities. So we have a core responsibility to assist agencies with appraising and scheduling records, but we have broader records management responsibilities as well that deal with helping agencies develop and implement effective records management programs and policies, particularly with an electronic records focus. And so our efforts are focused on looking at everything from the creation of electronic systems to dealing with existing legacy systems and kind of everything in between. So more work, more information is on the next slide. There is a deadline in the NARA bulletin, September 30th of 2009. Agencies have to document, in other words, for existing electronic record schedules, existing electronic records, you have to have NARA-approved schedules in place. We have a major initiative going on that involves really all the appraisal archivists that work in Lawrence's area. Working with agencies at this point, we are in the process of scheduling hundreds at this point of various electronic record keeping systems, many of which, you know, document some of the most important functions and activities and operations of the federal government. So we're making a real effort to focus on the permanently valuable and long-term electronic systems that need preservation and management and eventual transfer to NARA. And so this is a major part of what we're doing. And as part of that, the eSystems project, we developed some electronic records management guidance. In other words, guidance on how to transfer various electronic records in a variety of different formats to the National Archives. That's been a very important aspect of working with existing and legacy systems. We've also put out web guidance to deal with web records and are they records, and if so, how are they to be managed. And so there's a whole strand of our products and services that deal with existing and legacy systems. And we've developed additional products and services that Lawrence is going to be talking about in more detail. A records management profile that's part of federal enterprise architecture. A records management toolkit that tries to bring together various tools and guidance products from a variety of different sources and best practices for agencies to use. And we're in the process of developing and will begin to implement by the end of this fiscal year a records management handbook that brings together all the guidance, best practices, tools, and so forth in one convenient marketplace web portal for agencies to use. And lastly, we completely revamped and expanded our training programs to reflect the current record-keeping environment and challenges. And so all of these activities are in response to really to the four barriers that were identified as part of the IRPWIC's work. So at this point, I think that I've given an overview and glad to answer any questions about requirements and responsibilities. And I think we'll have some questions that Lawrence will want us to fill out and to move into to Lawrence as part of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. We will be sending out at this time a few more questions for you to consider, and we appreciate, again, your feedback on those. It does not look as if we have any questions at this time, so we'll hopefully have some bullet questions to field at the end of the presentation. I will turn right now to the resources that, as Michael has already laid out, some of the things that we have developed and put up on our website and we'll partner with agencies to develop that are in response to the activities we did to implement the E-Government Act of 2002. The first slide I have up are a list of the five areas I would like to cover in a little bit more detail. The first two, the RM profile and the toolkit, are direct results of the IRPWIC work that Michael mentioned and as part of our EGov Act activities. The other guidance products there, the records management guidance, especially the web product, are typically in very high demand from agencies. We generally get a lot of questions about what do we do with our websites and our web records. So I want to talk a little bit about that and the guidance that we have available to you in that area. And then finally, I want to talk a little bit about our records management training program. It really has grown steadily in demand over the years, and we have a number of courses, some that are free and available to you and your staff, which we think will help you as you go forward implementing your e-records procedures and policies. The first product and resource I'd like to talk about is the FEA Records Management Profile. We released this in December 2005 as a joint product of NARA, OMB, and the Chief Information Officers Council. We work very closely with the Architecture and Infrastructure Committee of the CIO Council and with OMB to develop a document that brings records management and IT concerns together. The way I view this document is really as a primer for both communities, which we feel will help agencies coordinate their work a little bit better and really improve the dialogue between RM and IT and agencies. What it does is actually make the business case for how agencies can leverage records management to improve their business processes. It establishes common requirements for agency IT governance processes for enterprise architecture and specifically addresses capital planning investment control or CPIC processes, business process design or redesign, and systems development lifecycle processes, as Martha mentioned in her part earlier in this presentation. There are also other things that I think will be of value to you in the profile. It really does pull together and present a really concise and coherent body of records management resources that really puts these kinds of tools, records management tools, in the context of the federal enterprise architecture. So if you are an IT manager or you're a records manager working with IT staff, we feel it will be much more understandable to them if they look at it in terms of the five reference models which comprise the federal enterprise architecture. So we have identified resources which map specifically to each reference model, which I believe provides a little bit more context aside from what we would normally do just for records managers. The next slide you're seeing is a graphic which I won't take credit from. It's actually from the OMB e-government website. And I think it's a really good graphic that conceptually shows how the records management profile fits into the FEA. I mean, you'll see from the graphic that there are vertical lines, which represent the lines of business, whether it's health, natural resources, that number of agencies are working with. And then vertically, you'll see that there are three profiles or cross-cutting areas which basically touch all of these lines of business and the work processes that are under them. And the three profiles that are available and are out there for you to review on the eGov website are the records management profile, which we're talking, the security and privacy profile, and the geospatial profile. And as I said, these cross-cutting frameworks, what they do is they allow decision makers in agencies to define those requirements and really embed them into existing IT and business processes in a systematic and consistent fashion. It really is a way to consider these things early in processes rather than as an afterthought, and allows you to work with IT staff and coordinate your records, information, knowledge management strategy to make sure that all of these requirements are integrated and dealt with. So we feel it really is a way for agencies to improve productivity and become more effective in working through their specific and individual business processes. This next slide, it really just summarizes the business case for the records management profile and why we feel it will be useful for you. We really feel, as I said, building records management early into processes will promote efficiencies in agencies, will improve accountability to stakeholders and customers, and will generally allow agencies to be more responsive, as Martha said, to internal and external stakeholders. The last slide I have on the profile is really what it is not. It does not impose any new requirements on agency programs, nor does it impose any additional costs as a result of implementation. Really what it does is provide a context for existing requirements, such as the eGov Act requirements that Michael talked about earlier, and other guidance to ensure that problems are addressed early in processes, early in the life cycle, where they can be dealt with most effectively. I've included here the URL where you can find the records management profile. It's on the NAR website. It is also in core.gov, and I believe it's also on the CIO Council website as well. I would also like to add, just as a side note to this, that this fiscal year, NAR is working very closely with several federal agencies, including Department of Treasury, Interior, and EPA, to pilot the approach that is presented in the profile. We hope that following completion of the pilots, we will be able to share with you some of the implementation-specific tools that we are developing as a result of working with agencies to use it. And Martha's just reminded me, we're also working with our own agency, with NAR records management staff, specifically on the systems development lifecycle piece. So we hope that by the end of this year or later in this year that we will have a lot more that we feel will allow you to implement the profile more effectively. The second tool I'd like to talk about is the toolkit for managing electronic records. The toolkit is essentially an internet portal, and what it does is allow for sharing and obtaining of proven guidance so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel here in federal government for records management. We know that there are really good best practices, process models, tips and techniques, lessons learned, et cetera, et cetera. And we just wanted to figure out a way to organize this better for a wide audience and find a way to summarize it, the resources that are in the toolkit, and provide a way for you to search and find the things that you need when you need them. We have taken on the activity of reviewing all of the tools and getting them into the toolkit, and you'll see here that it says there are 51 tools in the toolkit. We actually are now up to 60. We just received 9 additional tools from FBI, which are now in the toolkit. There is not actually I should mention, and you don't need to go back, but there is the URL for the toolkit is toolkit.archives.gov. If you go to the NAR website and the records management page, you will find it, but that's the direct link to the website. And I encourage you to just go there, browse around, and see if you find anything that you feel will be useful for your business. Another area I'd like to talk about, and the next three slides relate to, is web management guidance. As I said, this is an area where we do frequently get a lot of questions. Because of the dynamic nature of web, it really is a challenge as a medium for agencies to capture records that are web-based. As you'll see on the slide, website content are federal records per the statute 44 U.S.A. 301. And what we have done is basically since 2002, where we initially released our guidance for managing web records, which is also on our website, we have provided a basis for which agencies can make records management related decisions about their web content and then figure out a way to approach it from that perspective. So if you look at the next slide, which is basically a summary of what the foundation and the starting point for managing your web records is, we talk about web content and evaluating web content from a risk assessment standpoint. So every agency, depending on what they perceive the level of risk associated with their web content records, would have to make their own evaluation and then would work with NARA to develop a schedule for those records. We also leave it to agencies to determine the unit of analysis for making this risk assessment. Some agents may decide to make the entire website the parts they want to schedule, and others may turn to scheduling their website in various subdomains or smaller aggregations of web content. And that's something that we at NARA are here and available to work with you on scheduling those web records. Final slide on related web guidance. We have some other products that are more recently released that do relate in some respects to web and internet-based records. The first product is a FAQ, a frequently asked questions about instant messaging, which many agencies are now using to conduct business. And the second is an overview of some other recent web technologies such as Wikipedia's, blogs, portals, and RSS feeds. I encourage you to take a look at these products. They are both on the website at this URL here, and we'll provide some additional information on these kinds of products. Also in FY06, we have some other e-records guidance, which was released in FY06 or is coming soon. These are products that are aimed at getting a handle on e-records challenges and some various different e-records challenges. Many of these products are at implementation level, so we feel that those kinds of products will be particularly useful for you. You could take these and hand these out to staff, circulate them among your staff, and hopefully begin applying some of the checklist questionnaires and approaches that are presented in some of these products here. The last area I want to talk about is our training program, and as Michael said, it's an area we've worked very hard in recent years in trying to develop curriculum that we feel is focused and targeted and reflects NARA's new direction in records management. We have worked very hard in ensuring that the content of the training program is consistent in quality, whether you hear the training here in Washington, D.C. or somewhere out in the region. And we have worked at developing our instructors as the professionalism in which this training is delivered is of first quality. Many of the new courses focus on electronic records, and several are targeted to specific audiences such as IT managers, program managers, and general counsels. As part of this training program, we have also developed some core records management courses and a certification program for those staff requiring broader and more in-depth records management training. Our certification of training in federal records management has certified 393 records managers and contractors to date. And to do this, they have all had to take the 5 core courses, which are on the next slide, and then take the required tests to become certified. So just to give you an idea of what the core courses cover, then they are entitled knowledge areas, and they go knowledge area 1 through 6. And they cover from the very basic records management overview all the way up to asset and risk management and program development. On this slide, you'll see that in addition to the core courses required for certification, there are these half-day courses, and they're targeted to specific audiences. And in these cases, these classes are free, the IT class, the general counsel class, and the program manager's class. So we encourage you to look into taking these classes. We also have some new classes on the horizon, either just recently delivered or will be soon available to you. Courses on vital records, advanced electronic records management, disaster planning and recovery, and basic electronic records management are courses, curriculums we're currently working on and delivering as of this year. And then finally, we have this Records Management for Everyone CD, which is a really excellent introductory course on records management, which can be taken right at the desktop. We have it on a learning management system. It's available from OPM or through their learning portal, or we can arrange to get the CDs to you by request. It's a one-hour course, and it's a great introduction for new staff coming into agencies and for new records managers who are just taking on those responsibilities. So for the last time before we conclude, we have a few more questions related to resources we'd like you to consider. Again, we very much appreciate your feedback on these. Looks like we do have some questions. They're technical questions. So we would like to, if you have any questions, now would be the time to type them into the chat. And we'd be happy to consider them. And we will provide feedback to you from the questions that we've been asking you to fill out as we've gone through this presentation. At some point soon, we will try and give you some idea of, you know, once we've looked at the responses of what everyone thought of the presentation and specific points. Yeah, we will certainly send something out following the presentation to all of you.
Okay, and I wonder, Lawrence, if I'd like to, maybe since we're waiting for questions, I might have a few to ask you and Martha. And make one point too, to clarify and add a little bit to one thing I said, because it's very important on the deadline that's in the E-Government Act and in our bulletin, September 30th, 2009, where existing electronic record schedules have to be, systems have to be scheduled, and new systems have to have the functionality built into them. Our definition of existing electronic records are those that were in steady state operation at the time the bulletin was issued, which was December 17th of 2005. So new electronic record systems are those implemented after December 17th. I thought that clarification would be helpful. And perhaps Martha or you would want to share some of the lessons that we're learning as we're going through and trying to integrate, you know, the records management guidance and principles into CPIC and SDLC, et cetera.
I think one of the things that we are wrestling with right now is to look at the cost benefits related to doing good records management as part of the CPIC process, and also that is one of the challenges for us. But I think the thing that is important to remember that sometimes gets forgotten is that when you look at records management, we think a lot about here at the National Archives about preserving the records over time, but also not all records do need to be preserved over time. And very often there is some cost savings or some benefit to deleting records as part of the life cycle process of a record. So when looking at cost benefits, I think it's important to look at the disposal of the records, particularly when we have when we're talking about electronic systems in terms of the storage related to those records.
And I think it's a good question, and it's a good issue. We are working, as I mentioned, with our profile pilots with a number of agencies to try and get them better situated to address the deadline that we have in the bulletin. And it really is a good thing for all agencies to keep in mind, because we really believe it's good business. One of the things that we're doing as a follow-on to the work with the Alarm Profile Pilots is in this year's RACO conference, which will be May 8th in D.C., we are going to have a panel, which we hope to have the speakers from several of the pilot agents we've been working on talk about their experiences with implementing the profile and building records management into processes such as CPIC and SDLC and business process, talk about how it's really worked for them, how they've gone about doing it, how the guidance and the resources that have been produced as a result of eGov Act have been of particular use for them. So we feel like through that session and through our completion of the pilots, we will have a good base of resources that we feel will really help you meet the September 30th, 2009 deadline, because we feel it's very important, and if we don't try and as a community get a handle on our electronic records now, it's not going to be the kind of a problem that we can catch up with. It's an intractable issue, and we need to start dealing with it now, and the sooner we do and the sooner we develop the processes to do it, the better off we will all be. At this point, I think we wanted to try, and we do have some questions. First, let's answer some of the technical questions. One of the questions regarding the recording and the audio. The recording with the audio will be available on the NARA website next week. We will send out information on how to find it in a few days, and at that time, we will also ask for your comments on this session. Were there any other technical? Okay. Do we have any final thoughts? Do you have any concluding remarks, messages for your colleagues?
I would just like to thank everybody for participating in this, and hopefully those CIOs that are out there as well as IT staff will start to really, if you haven't already, to really think about the issues related to electronic records and to the eGov Act, and to try to move forward in the direction of including records management as part of your IT activities.
And I'd like to echo Martha's thanks and appreciation for your time. This is a lot of information to send out, and as you get the material again, the audio and the video next week, and you're looking at it, if you have questions, I think the best way to reach us to make sure that we can get an answer out to you and everyone who asks is to email us at rm.communications@nara.gov. I think that would be the best forum to send in questions and for us to reply. We're dedicated and committed to working with all the agencies and with OMB to really improve our records management and records keeping practices. One thing we should also mention, and maybe this would be the subject of a future webinar, is to talk about the impact of the Electronic Records Archives project that we're about to implement and to launch, and its impact on records management. I think that would be a standalone topic that would, because it's going to affect over time all agencies. Thank you very much, and thank you for moderating, Lauren.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that we are all in this together. This eRecords Challenge affects all of you and us here at NARA, and I just wanted to say that my staff in the Lifecycle Management Division is available to help you, work with you on your eRecords challenges and your scheduling needs. And with that, I would just like to say thank you to all 177 of you who attended this webinar. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to doing this again. Thank you all.
Thank you.